Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Angels, like men, are not eternal but immortal, meaning once created, they do not cease to exist. Now, this is a difference that you don't see this in scripture, this distinction. I'm being a little bit more precise because you could see this, the terms immortal and eternal used kind of interchangeably, and that's not the way I'm using this. So eternal would be only of God, no beginning, no end. Angels, humans, we have a beginning, but we have no end.
Welcome to The Rap Report with your host, Andrew Rappaport, where we provide biblical interpretation and application. This is a ministry of Striving for Eternity and the Christian podcast community. For more content or to request a speaker for your church, go to strivingforeternity.org.
Welcome to another edition of The Rap Report. I'm your host, Andrew Rappaport, joined again by Mr. Jim Osmond. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Andrew.
Let's just get this right out of the gate. You got a conference coming up in this summer, don't you?
I do, actually. The first weekend in June, June 3rd and 4th.
And it's a bunch of nobody speaking at this one, right? No one in our audience would know their names, would they?
Probably not. They're not on the Christian podcasting community, so therefore most Christians probably are not going to have ever heard of these guys.
That's right. We only know those who are on the Christian podcast community. That's right.
Yeah. There you go. That's my way of plugging you.
So let's talk who's going to be speaking and what's the conference going to be about. Although once we know the speakers, we kind of can guess what the conference is going to be about.
Yeah, we've got Daryl Harrison coming. He's the Dean of Social Media with Grace to You, and Virgil Walker, and he is Executive Something Director of Something at G3 Ministries. And those two brothers, they run the Just Thinking Ministries, which is headquartered and kind of part of in the same office complex, I guess, as G3 Ministries.
It's part of G3 now, correct?
Okay, yeah. So Just Thinking, and they have the podcast Just Thinking. They wrote the book Just Thinking About the State. They got one coming out called Just Thinking About Ethnicity. And we are having them both come to Kootenai. This is the first time that we've had them more than one speaker at a conference. And we have them both coming to Kootenai. We used to just have a Friday night and a Saturday conference. Now we've got all day Friday, all day Saturday. So we are going to exhaust these two men. And they're going to be speaking on progressive Christianity, woke Christianity, critical race theory, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, Marxism, social justice, redistribution, reparations, racism in the church, the white racism, white wokeness, and all the stuff that's plaguing evangelicalism. We've got both of them back-to-back sessions for 2 days. We got 10 full sessions and 3 Q&As, and we're serving lunch on 2 of those days and arranging for Messy's Burgers to come in and do a meal for the evening on Friday night. So it's going to be a fun time. Burgers. It's going to be a packed 2 days of education and equipping.
Some folks may not know those. I mean, if they're not local, they don't know what a rare treat that would be.
Yeah. Messy's Burgers is good stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean, honestly, I mean, you're still trying, even now, trying to get a conference better than your first one, right? I mean, the first conference you had with that first speaker was just knocked it out of the park in the best.
Set the standards so high, and now we're just constantly trying to claw our way back up to get where we were at that very first one.
It's either that or you started with me and figured, well, we can only go up from here.
Set everybody's expectations low, and then they'll just be, man, that was so good.
Yeah, there we go. So what we're going to talk about tonight is going to be a topic of angels. And there's a lot of confusion, especially if you were to look in Hollywood, and we'll talk about that. But when we get into angels, it's one of these things where there's not a whole lot of scripture we can look to and say that it speaks to, but there is enough for us to have a good understanding. And so before we get into that, you, Jim, you mentioned the Christian podcast community, which you and I are both members of. You have the Kootenai Community Church Worship Service, which is your sermons that are released there each week. This podcast is a member of the Christian podcast community. And if you want to listen to the, I don't know, like 45 plus podcasts that are out there, just go to christianpodcastcommunity.org. Check out all of the podcasts that we have out there. There are a growing number and they're vetted. No one gets off. Even Jim here, when he did his podcast, had to go through the whole process, get interviewed and the whole nine yards. So friendship with the admins buys you nothing. You still get it. You still get examined and vetted. It's interesting to see how many people, you know, Gene Client of Scroll Chatter has said the same thing. He was like, you know, he was like, Andrew didn't give me any break. We're friends. And he wouldn't give me any break. no breaks.
That's the way it should be.
Yeah. We're going to vet them. We're going to check them. So you know, you can trust the podcasts that are on there. And there's a little something for everybody, Jim. I mean, we have stuff on homeschooling, things for dads, things for women, things for theology, apologetics. I mean, there's a slew. We have some, if people like movies and entertainment, there's a podcast that teaches you how to think critically about movies. So a lot of different things, whatever you want, it's probably there. Just go to christianpodcastcommunity.org and you can go to the show page. And if there's a specific topic that you want, just click that on the top, whether it's theology, apologetics, whatever, and you can see which podcasts fit in that category. So with that, I should also mention, if you want to follow this podcast, an easy way to do that, thanks to Daniel J. Lewis, he created a tool for us, and you could just go to followthepodcast.com, followthepodcast.com/rap report. That's rap with two P's. So RAPP report. Just go to followthepodcast.com/rap report. And from there, if you're listening on just on a browser or something like that on your phone, you can easily click that and you would be able to follow the podcast in whatever app you typically use for podcasts. That way you don't miss an episode of Jim's Brilliance. So let's look at angels. We are again in our series looking at the doctrinal statement at what we believe from strivingforeternity.org. And if you want to follow along, just go to strivingforeternity.org. Under the About section is the What We Believe. Expand the section on angels, and that's what we're going to look at today. Jim, would you mind just reading those first three paragraphs for us so we have an overview of what we're going to discuss today?
Yep, happy to do it. All right, here we go. Angels are created, not eternal beings, Psalm 148, verse 5. Therefore, they are not to be worshipped. Each angel was individually and directly created by God as ministering spirits, Matthew 22, 28-30, Hebrews 1:14. They were created before the foundation of the world, Job 38:6-7. Angels, like man, are not eternal but immortal, meaning once created, they do not cease to exist. However, unlike man, angels were not created as a race, but a total number, innumerable to man, were created at one time. Men cannot become angels, and angels cannot become men. Angels are distinct from both man and God and will be for all eternity, 1 Corinthians 6:3, Hebrews 1:14, Hebrews 2:6-8, and Hebrews 12:22-24. Angels are similar to man in having a personality, but limited in power and abilities. Angels were tested for obedience by a one-time confirmation of holiness or unholiness, while man's confirmation occurs at death. Angels are organized and submissive to that organization, Colossians 1:16, Ephesians 1:21, Jude 9, and Revelation 12:7. There you go.
Okay, so as we look at this, starting with this, the first part of this, angels are created, not eternal beings. Just stopping right there, and the passage we have there is Psalm 148:5, which reads, "Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created." And this is in context referring to angels. So we see that angels are a created being. This is important because one of the things you do have in some religious systems is the belief that man is created, animals are created, angels are just these beings that have always existed. You can see some of this within Mormonism. Mormonism will have this, they have this thing sometimes where it's hard to understand for us in our day and age because it sounds like science fiction before there was a science fiction. But people become gods of other planets. So there's all these spirits and floating around, And I have heard some Mormons try to refer to these spirits floating around that will eventually become God as angels. Now, I don't think that's official Mormon doctrine, but I have heard a couple of Mormons that explain it that way, which becomes problematic because God is an eternal being. Well, within Mormonism, they would say God's eternal, but they have a different definition of eternal. So the reason this becomes important is because when you do speak to maybe someone who has this misguided thinking, what they're going to think is in Mormonism, this idea that somehow men become gods and yet they're eternal. Now, we would immediately look at this and say, that's not correct, right? This is the idea that they end up having with these spirits that are just out there and kind of floating around. What we're being very specific, angels are a created set of beings. They were created, which this is also important when you look at something like what Jehovah's Witnesses would believe. They believe there was the first created being they believe that was created was an angel named Michael. And then Michael created everything else. So what we have here is if angels are created, then they're all created. And they're going to be created by God, as we see in Psalm 148, verse 5. It doesn't say Michael commanded and they were created. It says that God commanded and they were created. And this is important because following that, the fact that they're created beings means they are not to be worshipped. There's two passages that I always think of. Daniel is the first one where we see an angel that is worshipped. When Daniel, in Daniel chapter 8, he sees Gabriel. As he sees Gabriel, I'll start reading in verse 16. We'll see in verse 17 what we want. It says, "And I heard the voice of a man between the banks of Yalai, and he called out and said, Gabriel, give this man understanding of the vision. So he came near to where I was standing. And when he came, I was frightened and fell on my face. But he said to me, son of man, understand the vision pertains to the end of times." So the reaction Daniel had was that he was afraid and fell down at an angel. Okay. Verse 18. "Now, while he was talking to me, I sank into a deep sleep on my face of the ground, but he touched me and made me stand upright. And he said, behold, I am going to let you know what will occur in the final period of the indignation that pertains to the appointed time of the end." So what you see is the angel stands him up. The angel is realizing he shouldn't be worshipped. One other passage that we have of this, Jim, is in Revelation. At the end of Revelation, Revelation 19, verse 10, John has a similar thing. And I think this is important because now we get to see what the angel thinks of himself and whether he should be worshipped. It says in John 19, 10, "I fell at his feet to worship him." Now, this is referring to an angel here that is giving him this message. He says, "I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and your fellow brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." Why emphasize this? The reason to emphasize this is, again, if you look at way some groups will, specifically Jehovah's Witnesses, for example, we see that Jesus is worshipped. And what they believe is that Jesus is Michael the Archangel, an angel that became a man, not God that became a man, an angel that became a man. And so that's a problem because we know he's worshipped. Well, they have problems with that anyway, because if he's worshipped, that they know that must mean, according to this verse, for example, he has to be God. So they try to deny that Jesus is ever worshipped. But there's a lot of passages that point to that. So when we think of angels, they're not a being that we as human beings should be worshiping. Only God deserves that worship. And so angels are a created being, very much like you and I. We are created. We're created as human beings. That's the race we're part of. That's our race, folks. It's not black, white, Hispanic, Asian, yellow, whatever. You know, there's no brown and black people. There's humans, one race. the angels are another race. Then you have animals, right? That's how we define these things. So, you know, if people really want the solution to racism, they just need to read the Bible and practice it, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Bible makes it very simple. And so the thing that we end up seeing with this is we see a distinction between God and angels and us. This is something that I think we have lots of confusion on nowadays, because there's a lot of Hollywood movies and things like that where there is this mixing of humans and angels, and we're going to get to that in a bit. But I think the reason there's so much confusion is, one, because there's not a lot of scripture passages we can go to that speak specifically about angels. Two, people don't like the Bible, and therefore they want to corrupt it as best they can. And since there's a little information on angels, it gives them a wide variety of areas to start inserting things. And you get a lot of that. But something about angels that we see here is each angel was individually and directly created by God, and they were created for a purpose, to be ministering spirits. Now, first off, each one's individually and directly created by God, just as everything else was created by God. We have the stars that were created by God. Now, here might be a difference, and Jim, I don't know where you'll be with this, but we'll get to this in detail when we deal with the doctrine of man. But how are human beings created? Specifically, our spirit. So we have the material part of us, the immaterial part of us. There's a couple different views that people have on the human spirit and how it was created. There's those who believe that when God created in Genesis, those first couple of days, he created all of the spirits that would ever exist, and they're just sitting in heaven awaiting bodies. And that's something you see rabbinic Judaism would teach, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, they don't go by the term Mormons anymore. But you have different groups that would teach that. You have others who say that God creates a spirit, that God does the creating directly and individually at either conception or birth, okay? And then a third, and this would be the position I would hold to, is that God, when he rested on the seventh day, he rested of all his work of creation from nothing, and therefore the procreation process he developed within that, the development of creation of a spirit. So it's not a new thing, it's something he put within his creation of human beings. And if you hold to that as I do, that's why this is specifying that angels are created individually and directly, which means they had to be created within those first 6 days of creation. And I think they were. And we could look to Job and see that, and we will in a moment. But they're created for a purpose. Just as you and I were created for a purpose, angels were created as ministering spirits. We see in the life of Jesus, they were there to minister to him. We saw that throughout his ministry. We see them referred to specifically in Hebrews 1:14 that was mentioned. They are not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation. So angels are specifically called ministering spirits. Now, the word angel comes from a Greek which means messenger, which should tell us something. They're messengers for God. They act as his messengers, his ministers. They were created all at once, unlike you and I that are, you know, we have a birth date that's well past creation, about 6,000 years for those who need the date roughly, give or take, you know, a little bit, but nowhere near the millions that some people think. And so they were all created once. They were in the host of heaven and with God. They were there. And what we see is it says, then they were created before the foundation of the world. And I referenced here Job 38, verses 6 and 7. And this says, you know, Job 38 is where God starts to answer Job. And in my devotions, I just started Job. I don't know about you, Jim. The first like 37 chapters of Job are like painstaking. You know, it's just like these long, you know, lectures to Job, and then Job defending himself, and then another one. And it's like, and each round gets worse. And I just love it. Chapter 38. Cause then it's like, then God speaks. That's the best part of the book. And when God speaks, what ended up happening to Job?
Yeah. He's humbled. He's vindicated.
His mouth is shut. It's like, okay, yeah. Like I shouldn't have said anything. But what God is describing is what he did in creation. He's basically saying to Job, like, who are you to be challenging me? Who are you to be asking me these things? So what he ends up saying here is he says, on what were the bases shrunk, or who laid the cornerstone? On the morning stars, and that's a reference to angels, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. So two different phrases there that are references to angels are the morning stars and sons of God. So these are references to when God laid the cornerstone of creation. Angels were there. And so people like to say, well, what day were angels created? I can honestly say somewhere between day one and day six, anywhere within that time frame.
I suspect early on in the creation week.
Mm-hmm. Early enough that they saw the creation. Early enough that they had to have seen if when God laid the cornerstone, I think it's when he creates earth and gives it its the form. So it would probably be within the first 3 days. And, you know, one of the things, I don't know what you think about this, John, I kind of think it's like, why did God create all the angels in the first, we can't see them, right? Why did he create them all at once and they stay in heaven when we're going to be on earth? Why is he do? I kind of think, and this is just my sanctified imagination, I think God just wanted all the angels to see what he would do, what he could do. Here, look what I did. I create all the stars, all of it. He could just, with a word, create all that. And he just wanted the angels as witnesses.
Yeah.
So the next thing says that angels, like men, are not eternal, but immortal, meaning once created, they do not cease to exist. Now, this is a difference that you don't see this in scripture, this distinction. I'm being a little bit more precise because you'll see in scripture, you know, you could see this, the terms immortal and eternal used kind of interchangeably. And that's not the way I'm using this. So eternal would be only of God, no beginning, no end. Angels, humans, we have a beginning, but we have no end. Of course, this gets into the discussion that someone's going to be asking, Jim, but what about my puppy dog? Does it have an end? We're not going to talk about that today. So, wasn't that like a book or a movie? Do dogs go to heaven or something?
Yeah, all dogs go to heaven.
All dogs go to heaven. There you go. But angels do not cease to exist, but they're different. Okay, unlike men, angels were created as a race, but a total number, and we don't know the number, we can't count the number, they were created at one time. We are not. We were not created at one time. So all the angels that will ever exist have already been created. They're about 6,000 years old. I know that some, if people would watch the video, you think Jim looks like he's 6,000 years old, but angels actually are.
No, not at all.
I don't know, Jim. There's an awful lot more gray in that beard that I'm seeing. Mm-hmm. You're starting to look older than me. I'm just saying. You know,
I might need to dye my beard.
Well, I think it might be something else, Jim. You know what? You know what it could be?
The stress.
Yeah,
the
I think you need a good night of sleep.
Yeah.
I think what you need is to get yourself a good pillow. Better yet, you need a good mattress topper.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and you know where a good place to go for that would be? Take a wild guess.
It's not Walmart.
No, it'd probably be from our sponsor, MyPillow.
Yes.
And if you wanted to get that good night of sleep, you could go to MyPillow.com or call 1-800-873-0176. That's 800-873-0176. Use promo code SFE and not only get a great night of sleep, but know that you're also supporting this podcast. So we appreciate MyPillow. They have great products. And if Jim would get more sleep, he would probably have less gray in his beard.
Yes, indeed.
You know, Jim, with that, with all that we've said as far as the angels, Is there anything there that you want to add as far as just their creation, the beings that they are, their purpose, and their existence?
Yeah, I think one thing regarding their purpose, a lot of times people tend to go beyond what is written in Scripture. And you talked about how they should not be worshipped, only God is to be worshipped, and how the angels denied worship. And yet there are many people who would name the name of Christ today who would attempt or try to really give homage and undue adoration to angels. This is a very common thing amongst very, I think, poorly educated Christians. They will actually think that angels help answer prayer or that angels give them protection. It's not uncommon to hear people speak of their guardian angel and trusting their angel and calling out to their angel or praying to their angel or trusting their angel to give them some sort of hedge of protection, et cetera. And that's going beyond what's written in terms of what we see in Scripture regarding angels. Those are things, I mean, trusting for protection and asking for provision and answer to prayer, those are things that God gives to those who ask him, not something that angels are giving to those who ask of them. So we just need to be careful in that we are not thinking of angels in terms of celestial beings, that though they do the work of God, they don't stand in the place of God. And we need to be careful to make that distinction.
You know, you wrote a book, God Doesn't Whisper, about the fact of how people think that God's speaking to them and what the Bible actually says about how God speaks to us. Does he speak to us? Maybe your next book should be, do angels speak to us? Do angels whisper to us?
Yeah.
You know, but who's guilty for a lot of that really is Hollywood. You know, in this next paragraph we have really is a lot of the next paragraph is because of movies and thinking that people have theirs. It's that men cannot become angels and angels cannot become men. This is so prevalent in movies. There was a movie I remember as a kid watching called Ghost. I don't remember the whole movie, but I just remember it was the one guy dies and he becomes an angel and he's trying to help his wife in death, and he's just this spirit floating around as an angel. You know, I think of the movie that comes around Christmas time, and I'm forgetting the name again. I asked you before the show because I knew it.
Yeah. Let me help you out with your cultural references. It's a Wonderful Life.
I'm trying to be cultural here and I still blow it.
You're too old to be worried about that. Just give up on it.
Yeah.
Too much culture has already passed you by.
I know. I am pop culture illiterate, totally. But it's in the movie It's a Wonderful Life, what you end up seeing is this idea that men can become angels and then angels can gain their wings by helping people. And every time you hear a bell ring, an angel's getting his wings for helping a person. So here you have this guy and he's this angel that was once a man is trying to help him. This is really prevalent. There was a movie or a TV show, I think in the 90s. I can't remember if it was called Heaven Help.
Touched by an Angel.
Touched by an Angel. That was it.
Here I am with the cultural references again.
Yeah. And so, hey, at least I knew there was a TV series about it. Not that I ever watched it, but the thing you end up having is all of these things end up with this idea where people try to say that when we pass away, instead of entering into eternity the way the Bible says it, we become these ministering spirits for God. And we come back to earth to serve God in some capacity. Or the idea we become a ghost that kind of floats around and we can haunt houses and things like that. When we die, we're immediately in the presence of God. It's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. And that's immediate. I mean, we are going to be immediately in the presence of God as believers or immediately into hell. There is no purgatory. Sorry, folks, if you're believing in that, that's not the Bible that you find in Catholic doctrine. It doesn't exist. And so what we see is we don't become angels and angels don't become men. Now, if you've been tracking with me, you already are going to know what I'm referring to with this. Where do we see angels that become men? Well, Jehovah's Witness theology, the angel Michael, that becomes Jesus. Angels don't become men. Men do not become angels. Angels are a distinct from both man and God and will be for all of eternity. They're a separate and distinct race of beings. They're not humans and they're not God. The angels are similar to human beings in that they have personality, but they are limited in their powers and abilities.
So what are we to make then when we see in Scripture that angels appear in the form of men? holding a sword, as it were, at the entrance to the Garden of Eden, and appearing as two men at the tomb of Jesus on the morning of the resurrection, etc. How do you describe that or differentiate that?
Yeah, or as we read when Daniel, that Gabriel appears as a man. And what we see there is we can have angels can take on the appearance of human and may even be able to take on physical characteristics. I mean, we know that at least in theophanies, and a theophany is when God presents himself as a man. A Christophany is when Christ would present himself as a man. And so we know that, for example, they could sit and eat bread with Abraham. So they're able to interact in the physical realm. So when we see that, they're not changing their nature. Either something within their nature allows them to take on a physical characteristic or at least a physical presence or to show themselves. But that doesn't mean they are men. They somehow can take on that form, but I would say that they can only do that by God's direction. Because this is something we'll get to later on in a future episode, but just understand something. Every angel is under God's authority. There's not a single angel that can do something on their own. Even Satan, Lucifer, the one that people say is the most powerful of the angels. You go read the first two chapters of Job. He can't do anything to Job without God's permission. So as Luther said, Satan is God's devil because God is the sovereign. So there's that distinction there. So somehow I think, Jim, they can take on the appearance of a man or the form of a man without being a man.
Yeah, that seems to be the way that they manifest themselves, that, and this has to be somehow in the sovereignty of God and the purposes of God. Probably if we saw them as they are, actually, as they actually are, we would be either horrified or mystified, or we would think of them as being divine in some sense or aliens. I think that we're going to be shocked to see what they actually look like. But when they do manifest themselves in the physical realm, that seems to come out as being more like men, more like human beings.
Yeah.
Though, you know, in scripture, it seems that the people who saw them, even though they saw them as men, recognized that they were angels. So there's something different or distinct about them that identifies them as being different from men, even though they seem to appear as men.
And sometimes we see that they are invisible to us, and then they can appear visible. A good example of that is Numbers 22. And if you're familiar with Numbers 22, that's the case with Balaam. Now, Balaam is not a guy to model yourself after, but Balaam is a guy who he wanted the riches that was offered to him by King Balak, and he really wanted to go, and God told him, don't go. So he asked again, and you know, Balaam's an example that I always look to is, if you keep trying to get your own way, sometimes what God does is give it to you to show you what a mistake that was. Balaam would have been much better when he said, God, do you want me to go to Balak? And God said, no. If he would have dropped it there, would have been good. See, and he did. He sent the Balak's servants back home, but what ended up happening was they came with more riches, and I think he saw that those jewels and all, and went, ooh, I could really use that. God, can I go, please? Please, I really want to go, right? He wanted to go. He wanted to go badly, and God let him go. But before he goes, before he gets there, God decided to send an angel that Balaam couldn't see, but his donkey could. And the donkey kept turning out of the way and striking Balaam because the donkey saw this angel with a sword in his hand, and Balaam couldn't see it, but the donkey could. Now, you know the account. Eventually, when Balaam gets upset after the third time this happens, he's upset with the donkey, and the Lord opened two things. One, he opened the mouth of the donkey, and the donkey started talking to him and saying why he did it. Okay, that's in verse 30 of Numbers 22. The donkey said to Balaam, it starts talking to him. So that right there should have shocked him and should have gotten him to fall off the donkey. But verse 31, then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing there in the way with his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed himself all the way to the ground. Now, this is the angel of the Lord. Now, there's a lot of people that would say that this is Christ. Okay. But one of the things you see here is that Balaam could not see the angel of the Lord until the angel revealed himself. And this is something, the angels could be all around us for all we know, and we don't see them. But we see in scripture where they do make themselves present. So they must have some ability that God gives to them where they are invisible and then they can be visible to human beings. How does that happen? I have no idea. Scripture doesn't say. This is where you get into a lot of speculation. I'll give you a book. If any of you like fiction, I'll give you a book written by a friend of mine, Matt Slick. It's called The Influence. Now, Matt is a theologian. Not that we agree on all of our theology together. He and I have lots of differences. But it is a creative book that he's trying to teach theology, and he deals with the idea of angels in this book quite a bit. And he takes some creative license, but tries to be careful not to say what the scripture doesn't say. So he tries to describe what angels look like, and he's pretty graphic in these pictures that he has, and angels can sometimes appear and where someone could see them and not. So he takes some liberty with it, but it is an example of someone that's trying to take the liberty that we can have with what scripture doesn't say, but still try to be within the confines of scripture. But it is, I think, a little bit creative in that. Not that he writes a whole lot of books on that are fiction, but that's one of them. But, the thing that was interesting with it is he was trying to address some of the things that we know about angels and some things that we don't, and he tries to lay that out. There's not a whole lot written on angels, and I think this is why some people end up adding things. So what you end up seeing is that the idea that people have that angels are somehow stronger than humans, they have these superhuman powers and things like that. Well, what we know is that they have a personality. So they have the attributes of personality as we as humans do. And so this is why when we talked about the attributes of God in the very first series, in the beginning of the series, we talked about God and his attributes. We talked about two words, you may remember them, communicable and incommunicable. Let me define those words for you. Communicable, just think of communication. It's the idea that God communicates these to us. So attributes that God has that we also have. Intellect, for one. Well, okay, Jim might think that I'm lacking in that one and he has it all. Okay, but there's a lot of...
Well, we wouldn't say that God communicates all of his attributes equally.
To all people.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we have emotions. We have a self-consciousness. We have these things. And there are attributes that are incommunicable. In other words, there are attributes only God has. He's omniscient. Now, Jim, last night we were doing Apologetics Live, and Justin Peters and I were talking to a guy who disagreed with us on our view of the charismatic gifts. And so we were looking at 1 Corinthians 13:1, which is the verse that the gentleman was trying to use to say there is an angelic language. Because it says, where Paul says, if I speak of the language of men and angels, but have not love, I'm a clanging cymbal. And he says, so see, that's proof there's an angelic language. I said, well, then if we look at verse 2, Paul's saying, if I have prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, but have not love, right? It's like, so I said, so are you saying Paul can have all knowledge? And he actually said, yes. And so usually people say no to that. People usually figure, no, only God is omniscient. So then he realized what he said was kind of like a backpedal. Let me figure out how to word this. But only God can have omniscience. Only God is going to be all knowing. And so that's an incommunicable attribute. Now, I break up the attributes of God differently. And I do it for this purpose when it comes to the issue of angels. I think that there's divine attributes, and those are attributes. Now, when we talk about the attributes, God has all of them. That's where we get them from. But what we end up seeing is the divine attributes are attributes only God has. The attributes that I define, and you can go to our course at Striving for Turing Academy, and you could look at our course on systematic theology where we go through this, but I define the attributes of personality. And those attributes would be ones that both men and angels have. And then there's attributes of morality. And I would say angels do not have those. Okay. And we're going to look at that because that's the next paragraph. And so I'm going to define that a little bit more in a moment. But what we'll see is that angels are limited in that way. Let me tell you something else that angels are limited in. First Peter says that angels are limited when it comes to understanding salvation. Have you thought about this? The angels look at your salvation, if you're a believer in Christ, in amazement. They can't comprehend what it is to be lost and have God himself redeem us. That's something angels cannot experience and cannot know. Let's look at the last paragraph that we have here for us today. That angels were tested for obedience by a one-time confirmation of holiness or unholiness, while man's confirmation occurs at death. Now, what do I mean here? There was some point in time, we don't know when it is, all I know is it was before Adam and Eve fell in Genesis chapter 2. Now, some people want to say that was day 8. I have no idea. How long was it that Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden before they fell? No idea. But I know that the angels must have fallen before that because Satan fell before that. And so because of that, we know that that had to have been before Adam and Eve. So somewhere after they were created, the first couple of days of creation, sometime before the fall of Adam and Eve. Can't give you any more definitive than that. But what we can say is this. When Satan fell, the angels that decided to side with him, they all made that decision at one time, and that was conferred upon them permanently. And so what we're going to look at in the next few episodes is what we call holy and unholy angels. Holy angels would be those that did not side with Satan. They were confirmed in a state of holiness, never to change. They can never rebel against God again. The unholy angels, that we would call them demons, were confirmed in a state of unholiness, and they can never change. A demon can never repent. So they're permanently in that state. Now, that's different than you and I. The angels who are in God's presence made a one-time decision, and that's it. Where you and I as human beings can hear the gospel over and over and over and over again. And then at some point, God brings us to repentance, and that confirmation will occur at our death, whether we're in a state of holiness or unholiness. The punishment was paid at the cross. God already knew who he applied that to. But we don't know until death. So we have our whole life for that confirmation to occur. This is different than the angels who see God. And so this is one of the things that make angels and men distinct from one another, okay? That this was something that they had a one-time act, and I don't know, Jim, you know, for you, if it was any different, but I was one of the, I thought this was normal. I was wrong. That the very first time I heard the gospel presented to me, I believed it. And I have learned, I thought every Christian was that way. I have learned that that's not the case. Most people heard the gospel dozens of times, maybe, before they finally came to repentance.
Yeah.
And that's something that men can experience, but angels can't. Angels have no idea what that's like. The last part of this that we're going to cover today is that angels are organized and submissive to that organization. Now, this is something where people get into lots of discussion. The book I mentioned from Matt Slick, The Influence, he kind of gets into this, trying to create some hierarchy of angels. C.S. Lewis did this in his Screwtape Letters with the idea that there is a hierarchy that we see within angels. But beyond that, we don't know much of what that hierarchy is. We know that Michael and Gabriel, we do know that they're the only two holy angels mentioned by name. And then we have Lucifer. So we only have three angels mentioned by name. We have references to archangels. We have references to seraphim and cherubim. How they're all structured, we don't understand because the scriptures don't give us enough detail. But what we do see is that there is some sort of organization and they submit to that organization. Now, I know that when we said we're going to talk about angels, there's probably lots of questions that came up. I know, Jim, you were probably thinking that question that always comes up in seminary. How many angels can dance on the head of a pin?
I think angels are bigger than that.
Exactly. My answer was, I remember actually being asked that, and my answer was, who cares? And this person just looked at me like, well, yeah, okay. Like, you know, I think that's what seminary is for young guys who walk in seminary thinking they know everything. And in a good seminary, you walk out with nothing but questions and realizing you know very little, right? That's what a good seminary does for you. But a lot of guys go into seminary thinking they know everything and they want to discuss these really minute details and just minutiae that is meaningless. And I guess because I went into seminary a little bit older, I looked at some of the questions that people would like love to discuss. And I'm just like, how does that matter? What does that do for you? Jim, all that we've discussed, any things you want to add to, you know, what we've been discussing about angels?
No, I would just add that I think that the idea of an organized structure in the angelic world for both holy angels as well as evil angels is something, again, where people go beyond what's written. Paul mentions in Ephesians 6, the principalities, the powers, the forces of darkness in this world. You get, there are certain Christian authors who will take each one of those distinctions and they will say that, you know, first you have principalities and then you have powers and then you have forces of wickedness in this world. And they try and put together like a, you know, a general and a sergeant and a private type of a structure there. And we don't know exactly how all of that works out, or maybe if Paul is just simply describing angelic powers generally, and he's using a variety of different terms to do so. So we just have to be careful that we don't, number one, that we don't go beyond what's written in trying to find out what the structure of those angelic beings is. And second, that we don't build doctrines on that, because people build doctrines of spiritual warfare on that, especially in terms of territorial spirits and spiritual mapping and all of those very dangerous practices. I mean, we need to be very careful about that.
You don't have any books on spiritual warfare, do you?
I got some books right behind me that are good, yeah.
Anybody, some good authors? Not that Jim Osmond guy.
Yeah, I did write a book on that.
You want to give the title of that, or should I?
Yeah, Truth or Territory, Biblical Approach to Spiritual Warfare.
But you're right. I mean, there are many, and this is more in the, I would say, the charismatic circles that we tend to see this, the idea of a spiritual warfare and the angels that are doing these things. And this is where, and we're going to get into this more as we look at holy and unholy angels, and specifically Satan. There is a lot where people get into this whole thing of, you know, oh, the reason you're drunk is because you have a spirit of drunkenness. As if there's this notion that you can't get drunk on your own. It's the fact that some demon of drunkenness is getting you. You have this Jezebel spirit that is the popular one nowadays that I have heard. And it's the idea that we're not responsible for our sin. It's some demon that's doing this. It's not really us. And because that's really what it does, folks. When you try to say I just have a spirit of drugs, the spirit of drugs just overtook me. What does that do? That is just pushing the responsibility off of self and onto some other being to say, it's all him. It's an angel, a demon that's doing it. It's not me. I'm like, I would never do that. And they build a theology on that is avoiding responsibility. Well, you know what that avoidance of responsibility ends up doing? It ends up denying the believer in Christ. If they're a believer in Christ and they're making these claims, it denies them repentance. It denies them their spiritual maturity. It denies them their spiritual growth, because they're pushing off their responsibility onto a demon that's not the demon's fault, and then not coming to repentance, not actually dealing with the issue. That's why I think some of these things that people do when it comes to building theologies on angels, how this can be dangerous. So my encouragement would be, let's not go beyond what Scripture says. And this, as we're going to look at in the next couple of weeks, next week we'll look at holy angels, and then we'll look at fallen angels and specifically Satan. And when we do that, we're going to get into a lot of discussion, but the one thing I want us to realize is we cannot go beyond what Scripture says. So with that, let me encourage you guys, just so that you know, if you're going to be, Jim and I will be together, if you're going to be in California to the Shepherds Conference, that's coming up in a few weeks.
Oh man, I'm looking forward to that. Whew, looking forward to that.
Hey, Jim, I was really glad with the news. They're dropping the mask mandate for indoors. Finally, California. I am nervous going to California. I mean, I know I don't live in a state as free as yours there in Idaho, but I've kind of gone back to normal. I mean, I go to stores. I don't have to wear masks. I'm not looking to a flight where I have to wear a mask, from New York to LA, but I'm doing that not just once. I'm going to do that cross country twice because we're going to be together in California. So if anyone's going to be in the LA area or going to Shepherd's Conference, come check, look Jim and I up, say hello, tell us you listen. That's going to be March 9th to the 11th that we'll be there. The very next week or weekend, I should say, I will be at Redeemer Bible Fellowship in Medford, Oregon. So that is on March 18th and 19th. I'll be doing our ambassador evangelism training, and then I'll be preaching there on the 20th. That's Pastor Kofi, and I gotta remember how to properly pronounce his last name. He always corrects me, and I never get it right. Abu Boahem, I think, something like that. But we just say Kofi, and most people know who it is. But Redeemer Bible Fellowship in Medford, Oregon, I'll be there March 18th and 19th for the evangelism training and preaching on the 20th. Then I'll also be down in Philly, which is not too far from me, on March 25th and 26th. Stand to Reason is going to be having their Reality Student Apologetics Conference. So if you're in the Philly area and you're going to that conference at any of those events, just come by, look, find me, because Jim will only be at the one conference. But you can find me and say, hey, I listened to you on the Rap Report. That actually goes a long way with us. It helps us to know who's listening. Another way would just be to, go to, our podcast and leave us a review. That would really help as well too, because that's really the only way we know the impact we're having on you. Now, if you want to leave us a review, you can go to lovethepodcast.com/rap report. That's rap with two P's, lovethepodcast.com/rap report. If you're listening in a podcast app, it should be in the show notes at the bottom. But let us know. It encourages our heart to know that you're listening, you're getting something out of this, because right now, the only thing I'm seeing is Jim, and unfortunately for Jim, he's kind of looking at my ugly mug, but it's getting darker here, and so fortunately for Jim, there's less light, less things to scare him. It does take you a couple days to get over these podcasts, right? The recordings of seeing.
Unfortunately, we do this once a week, yeah.
Yeah, but you will recover. That's what I'm looking forward to in a glorified body. People stop looking at, me and screaming. Okay, well, maybe that's just me every morning. Sorry. But for today, folks, I hope this was helpful, educational. I hope that you learned a little bit more about angels and you learned some things maybe you shouldn't know about angels or shouldn't believe about angels. Next week, we'll talk about holy angels, what they are, more about them in a little bit more detail than we are able to cover in this overview. So look forward to seeing you next week when we talk about that. And that's a wrap.
This podcast is part of the Striving for Eternity ministry. For more content or to request a speaker or seminar to your church, go to strivingforeternity.org.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.